Before the flood, the world was a fascinating and mysterious place, very different from what we know today. This period, narrated in Genesis, is full of surprising accounts and intriguing characters that allow us to glimpse an era where humanity lived in connection with the divine. Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and Noah are just some of the figures who inhabited this time, and their stories reveal a world full of extraordinary longevity, celestial interactions, and deep spirituality. As we explore this era, we will discover how evil and rebellion led to a catastrophe that would change the course of history forever. Before the Great Flood, the earth was a radically different place. The scriptures tell us of a fertile land, rich in natural resources and inhabited by humanity in its early stages. In Genesis 1:29-30, it is described how God provided humans with plants and fruits for their sustenance, creating an environment conducive to life. This period is also characterized by a unique closeness between God and man, reflected in the direct conversations Adam and Eve had with the Creator, Genesis 3:8-9. Through accounts of figures like Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and finally Noah, we get glimpses of an existence that, despite being distant in time, remains surprisingly accessible. Various entities converged to provoke the catastrophe of the flood, among them Satan and the rebellious angels. The first indication of this cataclysm occurred even before the formation of the cosmos, with the conception of the sons of God, a fact described in the biblical account of the book of Job. It reveals a divine conversation prior to the foundation of the world, Job 38:7-8, where the presence of the interlocutor at the creation of the earth is questioned, highlighting the joy of the sons of God, or angels, who, like morning stars, exalted creation with songs of joy. Before continuing with this study, share this video with someone you know, whether via WhatsApp or Facebook. Our greatest mission as believers is to spread the word of the Lord to as many people as possible. If you enjoy this type of content, comment below, "I want more," so I know if you really want me to continue conducting comprehensive studies like this. Now, following the main theme, before the flood, there was a transgressing entity. The scriptures mention these deserter angels fleetingly, emphasizing that although the vast majority of celestial beings remained faithful, some chose the path of rebellion. Consider that heaven was meant to be the eternal home of the angels. However, they were expelled from this paradise. What led to such an outcome cannot be ignored. The angels were endowed with the gift of free will, and their fall is interpreted through this capacity for choice. The book of Jude explains it clearly. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." Jude 1:6. These angels were created specifically to reside in heaven with God, praising Him and following His orders, destined to glorify Him. Just as humans were created to inhabit the earth, these celestial beings strayed from their origin, abandoning their heavenly position. Under the command of Satan, presented as an angel of light, these angels united in the so-called Great Rebellion, attempting, unsuccessfully, to usurp divine power in the eternal kingdom. This act of rebellion, led by Satan, tried to subvert God's authority, ending in defeat for him and his followers. Jesus Christ, present during these events, spoke of the glory shared with God before the creation of the world, John 17:5, evidencing that Satan's fall was a significant event, far beyond the caricature of a being with horns. The structure of Satan's kingdom is complex, with various levels of authority situated in the heavenly realms, a reality that surprises many, but is clearly documented in the scriptures. The ongoing spiritual battle is a conflict between two kingdoms, God's, governed by the Prince of Peace, and Satan's, the Prince of Darkness. Expelled from heaven, Satan and his acolytes set out to usurp God's earthly dominion, beginning with the deception in the Garden of Eden, marking the start of his challenge to God's sovereignty over the earth. Satan needed a strategy when God created the universe, establishing a place called Eden, which in Hebrew symbolizes happiness or bliss. This was a place of sustenance, where man could meet with God. As reported in Genesis 3:8, in this idyllic garden, there was a singular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God instructed Adam and Eve to enjoy any tree in the garden except that one. Satan's mission was to annihilate human destiny. And so the ancient serpent approached Eve, employing three fundamental tactics. The longevity of humans in this era was notably superior to today. Adam lived 930 years, according to Genesis 5:5, and other patriarchs of that time also reached advanced ages. This longevity allowed for an extensive transmission of knowledge and traditions, creating a significant cultural and spiritual continuity. The accounts of these ancient patriarchs show us a humanity with a deep connection to its roots and a great accumulated wisdom. The environment they lived in was also extraordinary. The Bible describes a different water system, with a river flowing out of Eden to water the garden and then dividing into four branches, Genesis 2:10, 11. This system likely contributed to the fertility of the land and the well-being of its inhabitants. Moreover, the relationship between man and nature was harmonious, with man playing the role of guardian of the divine creation. The fall of Adam and Eve, tempted by the serpent, introduced sin into the world, Genesis 3:17. This act of disobedience not only affected the first humans, but also had profound repercussions on all creation, marking the beginning of a constant struggle between good and evil. One of the most surprising characteristics of humanity before the flood was their longevity. Adam lived 930 years, Seth reached 912 years, and Methuselah, the longest-lived man recorded in the Bible, lived 969 years, Genesis 5, 5:27. These extensive lifespans allowed people to accumulate a vast amount of knowledge and experiences, contributing to a society rich in wisdom and tradition. The longevity of these patriarchs also facilitated a direct transmission of history and faith. For example, Adam could firsthand tell many generations about the Garden of Eden and his relationship with God. This oral transmission was crucial to keeping sacred history and divine teachings alive. The long lives of these men and women meant they could see the fruits of their labor over centuries, building cities, developing primitive technologies, and establishing complex social systems. Cain's descendants, for example, were the first to develop metal tools and found cities, Genesis 4:17, 22. However, longevity also had its dark side. Corruption and evil had more time to take root and spread among humanity. As generations passed, humanity drifted further from God, falling into increasingly corrupt and violent practices, Genesis 6:5. This increase in wickedness eventually led God to regret creating man and decide to purify the earth through the flood. Interactions between God and humanity before the flood were direct and frequent. God walked in the Garden of Eden and spoke directly with Adam and Eve, Genesis 3, 8-9. This level of direct communication shows a closeness and intimate relationship that has largely been lost in the modern era. These interactions were not limited to simple conversations. God gave clear and specific instructions to humans, as seen when he commanded Noah to build the ark, Genesis 6:12, 22. This direct divine guidance helped humans navigate the complexities of primitive life and maintain a close connection with their Creator. God established covenants and promises with humanity, demonstrating his continuous commitment to his creation. One of the most significant covenants was with Noah, promising never to destroy the earth with a flood again, and sealing this promise with the rainbow as a sign, Genesis 9:11, 17. Despite this closeness, human disobedience and the influence of Satan and the fallen angels began to distort this relationship. The temptation in the Garden of Eden and the subsequent fall of Adam and Eve marked the beginning of a separation between God and humanity, a breach that would widen over time and the spread of sin, Genesis 3:17. Adam and Eve, the first humans created by God, are central figures in the Genesis narrative. They were placed in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, enjoying a direct relationship with God, Genesis 2:15. However, their disobedience by eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil brought sin into the world and resulted in their expulsion from the garden, Genesis 3:12-24. Cain and Abel, the first sons of Adam and Eve, represent the first human conflict recorded in the Bible. Cain, the firstborn, was a farmer, while Abel was a shepherd. Both offered sacrifices to God, but only Abel's was accepted, leading Cain to anger and eventually killing his brother, Genesis 4:1-8. This act of fratricide marked the beginning of a downward spiral of wickedness in humanity. The story of Cain and Abel also introduces the theme of sin and its growing dominion over man. God warns Cain about the sin lying at his door, ready to dominate him if he does not resist, Genesis 4:7. However, Cain does not heed and commits the first murder, symbolizing how humanity began to drift away from divine commandments. Noah, a key figure who appears later, is the counterpoint to this trend of wickedness. Described as a just and perfect man in his generations, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8-9. His story and his obedience to God's instructions to build the ark represent a hope of redemption and renewal for humanity. Noah is a central figure in the pre-flood narrative, known for his righteousness and uprightness in a time of great corruption. In a world where wickedness had reached unbearable levels, Noah found favor in God's eyes, Genesis 6:8. This divine favor not only saved him, but also made him the instrument of salvation for all life on earth. Noah's faithfulness and that of his family allowed humanity and creation to have a second chance, establishing a new covenant with God and marking the beginning of a new era, Genesis 9:1-17. Before the flood, the earth also witnessed a celestial rebellion. According to the scriptures, some angels under Satan's leadership rebelled against God, abandoning their assigned position in heaven. This rebellion is mentioned in Jude 1:6, where it is explained that these angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, and were placed in everlasting chains under darkness, until the judgment of the great day. These fallen angels, also known as demons, significantly influenced the pre-flood world, descending to earth and corrupting God's creation, inciting humans to acts of wickedness and leading them astray from the righteous path. Their influence is evident in the increasing violence and depravity that characterized humanity in those times, Genesis 6:5. The rebellion of the fallen angels also introduced the Nephilim into the biblical narrative. The Nephilim were descendants of the union between the sons of God and the daughters of men, Genesis 6:1-4. These beings, described as giants and men of renown, contributed to the corruption and chaos that preceded the flood. Their presence exacerbated the situation, leading God to regret creating man and decide to purify the earth through the flood. This dark chapter in the history of humanity and heaven reflects the deep struggle between good and evil. The rebellion of Satan and his angels not only challenged divine authority, but also left an indelible mark on humanity's destiny, demonstrating the devastating consequences of disobedience and rebellion against God. The book of Job offers an intriguing glimpse of celestial interactions and the nature of angels before the flood. In Job 38:24-7, God challenges Job to reflect on his absence during the creation of the world, highlighting the presence and joy of the sons of God or angels. These morning stars sang for joy when God laid the earth's foundations, reflecting an initial celestial harmony that contrasts sharply with the rebellion that would follow. One of the most intriguing facets of divine creation is the free will granted to angels. Unlike humans, angels were created as spiritual beings with the capacity to make autonomous decisions, including rebelling against God. This free will is central to understanding the rebellion led by Satan and the subsequent fall of the rebellious angels. In Jude 1:6, it is explained that the angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. This capacity for choice is a testament to the power of free will and the consequences of its misuse. The angels, destined to serve and worship God in heaven, chose to follow Satan in his challenge to divine authority, resulting in their expulsion from paradise. Free will also reflects God's just and loving nature, who does not desire forced obedience, but sincere and voluntary devotion. However, the fall of the angels demonstrates that freedom brings responsibility and that disobedience brings with it severe consequences. These angels were condemned to everlasting chains under darkness until the final judgment, Jude 1:6, a fate that underscores the seriousness of their transgression. The story of these fallen angels is an enduring lesson about the importance of loyalty and genuine devotion to the Creator. The fall of Satan and his followers is one of the most dramatic events in the biblical narrative. Originally, an angel of light and great beauty, known as Lucifer, Satan rebelled against God, seeking to usurp his throne and authority. This rebellion is described in Isaiah 14:12-15 and Ezekiel 28:12-17, where the arrogance and excessive ambition of Satan are detailed. The expulsion of Satan and his angels from heaven was an act of divine justice. Revelation 12:7-9 narrates the war in heaven, where Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan and his followers. This battle culminated in the defeat and expulsion of Satan and his angels to the earth, marking the beginning of their attempt to corrupt God's creation on earth. Satan and his followers continued their work of deception and destruction. Their first major victory was the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent, Satan, succeeded in getting her to disobey God, introducing sin into the world, Genesis 3:1-7. The fall of Satan is a powerful warning about the dangers of pride and rebellion. It shows how even the most exalted beings can fall through their arrogance and disobedience, and how their actions can have catastrophic consequences for all creation. This story remains relevant, reminding us of the importance of humility and loyalty to God. The Bible not only reports the fall of Satan, but also the condemnation of the angels who joined his rebellion. Jude 1:6 mentions that these angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. And for this reason, God placed them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. The condemnation of these fallen angels also highlights the contrast between their fate and that of the angels who remained faithful. While the rebellious angels face an eternity of darkness and torment, the loyal angels continue serving God in His glory, participating in His divine plan, and acting as messengers and protectors of humans, Hebrews 1:14. This account is a warning and a lesson about the importance of loyalty and obedience to God. The condemnation of the rebellious angels shows that divine justice is impartial, and that disobedience brings with it grave and eternal consequences. It is a call to all created beings to remain faithful and obedient to the Creator. From the beginning, God established a clear mandate for humanity: be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, Genesis 1:28. This mandate reflected God's desire for humans to prosper and care for His creation. However, the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden introduced sin into the world, challenging divine order and marking the beginning of an era of rebellion. The temptation of Eve by the serpent, resulting in the consumption of the forbidden fruit, was an act of disobedience with transcendent consequences, Genesis 3:16-19. This first sin not only brought spiritual death to humanity, but also broke the harmony between man and God, between man and nature, and between humans themselves. The rebellion did not stop with Adam and Eve. Cain, the couple's firstborn, also disobeyed God by murdering his brother Abel out of jealousy and envy, Genesis 4:8. This act of fratricide was an early manifestation of the corruption and sin that quickly spread among humanity. As humanity multiplied, rebellion intensified. The earth was filled with violence and corruption, leading God to regret creating man, Genesis 6:5-6. This growing wickedness would culminate in the divine decision to purify the earth through the flood, a drastic but necessary measure to restore order and holiness. Satan, presented as the serpent in the Garden of Eden, unfolded a cunning and subversive strategy to corrupt humanity. His objective was clear: undermine God's authority and ruin the destiny of human beings. The first tactic he used was to sow doubt in Eve's mind. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Genesis 3:1. This manipulative question insinuated that God might not be completely honest, planting the seed of distrust. Next, Satan appealed to Eve's presumption and desire for knowledge. He claimed they would not die if they ate the fruit, directly contradicting God's warning. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:4-5. This deceptive statement suggested that God was withholding something valuable from them, inciting them to disobey to achieve supposed equality with their Creator. The third tactic was the temptation itself. The serpent highlighted the attractive appearance of the fruit and its supposed benefits, leading Eve to take and eat the forbidden fruit and then share it with Adam. Genesis 3:6. This act of disobedience resulted in an immediate and negative transformation. Their eyes were opened, but not to glory, but to shame, recognizing their nakedness and the rupture of their original innocence. Satan's strategy in Eden was devastating. Not only did it lead to the fall of Adam and Eve, but it also established a pattern of deception and disobedience that would continue to affect humanity. The separation from God and the introduction of sin brought suffering and death to the world, consequences that could only be redeemed through the promise of a future Savior. Presumption is a dangerous attitude that can lead to disastrous decisions, as exemplified in Eve's fall. By suggesting that Eve could disobey God without facing consequences, the serpent led her to presume that she and Adam could act independently of divine instructions. Ye shall not surely die. Genesis 3:4. The serpent's promise that ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, Genesis 3:5, appealed to Eve's curiosity and pride. This presumption of divine power and knowledge led Eve to reassess the divine prohibition, convinced that she could gain a superior benefit by disobeying God. The fall of Eve and Adam due to presumption is a lesson about the dangers of overestimating our abilities and disregarding divine warnings. The story emphasizes the importance of humility and obedience to God, reminding us that acting with presumption can have profound and lasting consequences, not only for ourselves, but for all humanity. Despite Adam and Eve's disobedience and the catastrophic consequences of their sin, God did not leave humanity without hope. Amid the judgment pronounced upon the serpent, God promised future redemption. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. This prophecy, known as the Proto-Evangelium, is the first indication of the coming of a Savior. This initial promise of redemption was fully realized in Jesus Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection offer salvation and restoration to all who believe in Him. Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, is a tragic figure whose life is defined by violence and divine punishment. His story begins with the offering he presented to God, which was not accepted, unlike his brother Abel's offering, Genesis 4:3-5. This rejection ignited Cain's anger and jealousy, culminating in the first murder recorded in the Bible. Cain killed Abel in the field, an act that had profound repercussions, Genesis 4:8. God's response to the murder was immediate and severe. Cain was cursed and condemned to be a wanderer on the earth. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Genesis 4:11-12. This curse not only affected Cain's life, but also his descendants. Cain's legacy is one of perpetual violence and disobedience. His descendants, though innovative in various areas, continued on a path of sin and rebellion. Lamech, one of his descendants, is a clear example of this dark heritage. Lamech not only practiced polygamy, but also boasted of killing a man for wounding him, showing a frightening disregard for human life. Genesis 4:19, 23-24. Despite his sin, God showed mercy to Cain by placing a mark on him to protect him from vengeance. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Genesis 4:15. This mark symbolizes God's justice, balanced with his grace, and highlights the complexity of the relationship between sin, punishment, and divine mercy. Despite the curse that lay upon Cain, his descendants demonstrated remarkable ingenuity and capacity for innovation. Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch, after his son, Genesis 4:17. This city became a center of human development and advancement, despite the shadow of sin that surrounded it. Among Cain's descendants, several stood out in specific fields. Jabal, for example, is considered the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock, marking the beginning of nomadic and pastoral life, Genesis 4:20. His brother Jubal was the father of all those who play the harp and flute, introducing music and art into human culture, Genesis 4:21. Tubal-Cain, another descendant, was the forger of all cutting instruments of bronze and iron, a pioneer in metallurgy, Genesis 4:22. These achievements show that, despite moral corruption, humanity had the capacity to progress and create. This dichotomy has repeated throughout history, showing the complexity of human nature. Cain's legacy was also marked by violence and immorality. Lamech, Cain's descendant, is a clear example of this dark heritage. He boasted of killing a man for wounding him and a young man for striking him, proclaiming that vengeance upon him would be even greater than that upon Cain, Genesis 4:23-24. This act of arrogance and brutality underscores how wickedness perpetuates in Cain's lineage. These biblical accounts not only narrate the events, but also provide profound lessons on the consequences of sin, the importance of obedience to God, and the hope of redemption through divine promises. They call us to reflect on our own lives and the spiritual heritage we are building. The way of Cain symbolizes the moral decline of humanity before the flood. This term is used in the New Testament to describe the behavior of those who turn away from God's ways, Jude 1:11. Cain, by choosing violence and disobedience, exemplifies humanity's departure from God and the consequent increase in wickedness on earth. Nevertheless, God's mercy is also evident, even in the consequences of sin. Rebellion established a pattern that many would follow, leading the world to a state of corruption and wickedness. Cain's decision to kill his brother Abel was the first step on this path of decline. This act of fratricidal violence broke family harmony and sowed chaos in the nascent humanity. The mark that God placed on Cain to protect him also served as a constant reminder of his sin and the consequences of his disobedience, Genesis 4:15. Cain's legacy continued in his descendants who, despite their technological and cultural advancements, could not escape the stigma of violence and immorality. Lamech, with his pride in homicide and polygamy, is a clear example of how wickedness propagated through generations, Genesis 4:23-24. This propagation of sin led to a society increasingly distant from divine commandments. The way of Cain is a warning about the dangers of disobedience and rebellion against God. Through the story of Cain and his descendants, we see how sin can take root and spread, corrupting humanity and distancing it from its divine purpose. This narrative underscores the need to seek righteousness and obedience to God to avoid the devastating consequences of sin. In contrast to Cain's line, God established a new genealogical line through Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve, after Abel's murder. Eve gave birth to Seth, saying, For God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, Genesis 4:25. Seth represented a renewed hope for humanity and an opportunity to re-establish the relationship with God. Seth's lineage is notable for its devotion to God. In the days of Enos, Seth's son, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, Genesis 4:26. This statement indicates a resurgence of piety and worship, contrasting with the violence and immorality that characterized Cain's line. Worshiping God became a central pillar of this new genealogy, establishing a legacy of faith and devotion. Among Seth's descendants is Enoch, who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. Enoch's life is a testimony of communion and faithfulness to God, standing out as an example of righteousness in an age of increasing corruption. His rapture, without experiencing death, is a sign of divine approval and a hope for future redemption. The new genealogical line through Seth culminates in Noah, who was described as a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God, Genesis 6:9. Unlike most of his generation, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was chosen to preserve human and animal life during the flood. His story demonstrates God's faithfulness to his promises and the importance of righteousness and obedience. Enoch is a singular figure in the Bible, known for his exceptionally devout life. According to Genesis 5:22-24, Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he begat Methuselah, and then he was not, for God took him. This brief but powerful testimony highlights Enoch as a model of faith and intimate communion with the Creator, a relationship so profound that he was taken to heaven without experiencing death. Unlike many others in his time, Enoch's life was not centered solely on material aspects or survival. His existence reflects a constant pursuit of spiritual connection and unwavering obedience to God. In an era where wickedness and corruption were on the rise, Enoch represented a beacon of hope and righteousness. His example is proof that true devotion and genuine faith can distinguish a person, even in times of moral decay. Enoch is also mentioned in the New Testament in Hebrews 11:5 as one of the heroes of faith. This verse highlights that Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. This validation in the New Testament not only confirms his importance, but also reinforces the idea that his life was a living testimony of faith and devotion. Enoch's legacy does not end with his translation to heaven. His life and example have served as an inspiration for generations of believers, reminding all of the importance of walking with God and living a life that is pleasing to him. Amid a corrupt society, Enoch managed to stand out for his faith, leaving a lasting legacy of what it means to have a deep and sincere relationship with the Creator. Enoch is one of the few biblical characters who experienced such a close relationship with God that he did not see death. The Bible mentions in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This phrase, though brief, encapsulates the essence of a life lived in complete harmony with divine commandments and love. Enoch is a living testimony of what it means to walk with God daily and devoutly. The concept of walking with God implies more than just a simple belief. It suggests a life of obedience, faith, and constant communion. Enoch, amidst a society that was becoming increasingly corrupt and distant from God, remained steadfast in his faith. This daily walk with God allowed him to live in a spiritual dimension that few experienced, reflecting an intimacy and connection that went beyond the earthly. Enoch's account becomes a foreshadowing of the Christian hope of eternal life. Hebrews 11:5 highlights his faith and how before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This testimony becomes a promise that those who seek God with all their heart can expect a divine reward, not only in terms of earthly blessings, but also in eternal life. Enoch's example remains relevant today in a world facing its own forms of corruption, and moral challenges. His life serves as a powerful reminder of the importance of faith and devotion to God. His walk with God is a call to all believers to seek a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the Creator, a relationship that transcends the mundane and reaches the eternal. The longevity of the patriarchs before the flood is one of the most intriguing aspects of biblical accounts. Adam lived 930 years, Genesis 5:5, Seth 912 years, Genesis 5:8, and Enosh 905 years, Genesis 5:11. These extremely long lives allowed the transmission of knowledge and traditions through many generations, creating an unprecedented cultural and spiritual continuity. The longevity of the patriarchs also facilitated the accumulation of wisdom and experience, essential for the survival and progress of early humanity. These long periods of life allowed the patriarchs to witness great changes and significant events. Longevity also meant they could see the long-term consequences of their actions and decisions, deeply influencing their communities and descendants. The experience accumulated over centuries made these patriarchs natural leaders and respected figures of authority. Besides longevity, the patriarchs possessed deep knowledge about nature, agriculture, and spiritual practices. This knowledge was essential for subsistence in a world still in its formative stages. The ability to cultivate the land, domesticate animals, and build sustainable communities was passed down from generation to generation, ensuring the continuity and development of human civilization. The longevity of the patriarchs also had a spiritual purpose, allowing a prolonged and more intimate relationship with God, as seen in the lives of Enoch and Noah. These men not only lived long lives, but also dedicated much of their existence to walking with God and following His commandments. This combination of longevity and devotion established a solid foundation for the faith and obedience expected of their descendants. Methuselah is an enigmatic and fascinating figure in biblical texts. He lived 969 years, being the longest-lived man mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 5:27. This long life not only underscores the different nature of human existence before the flood, but also connects key generations in the biblical narrative, being the grandfather of Noah. Methuselah, whose name means, "When he dies, it shall be sent," is seen as a marker of God's patience and mercy toward a humanity increasingly straying from His ways. Methuselah was the son of Enoch, another notable character who, according to Genesis 5:24, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This direct lineage with Enoch adds a layer of spirituality and devotion to Methuselah's figure, suggesting that despite the increasing corruption on earth, there were individuals and families who maintained a close relationship with God. Methuselah's life spanned a period of great changes and moral decay, but also of inherited hope and faith. The fact that Methuselah lived until the same year of the flood suggests a symbolic link between his life and God's judgment. His longevity can be interpreted as an extended period of grace, where God patiently waited for humanity to repent. However, despite his example of faith and the implicit warning in his name, most people of his time did not turn to God. Methuselah's legacy continues to inspire believers today. His long and devout life and his connection to key figures like Enoch and Noah underscore the importance of faith, patience, and persistence in one's relationship with God. Though he lived in an era of increasing wickedness, Methuselah remained faithful, reminding us that there is always hope and opportunity for redemption in God's eyes. The rapture of Enoch is one of the most extraordinary events in the biblical narrative. According to Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This singular event suggests a relationship of such depth and purity with God that Enoch was translated directly to heaven, avoiding physical death. This rapture becomes a powerful symbol of divine reward for a life of faith and devotion. Enoch lived in a time of increasing corruption and wickedness, but his walk with God distinguished him as a righteous and pious man. Hebrews 11:5-6 emphasizes that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This testimony confirms that his life of faith was seen and approved by God, a validation of his constant devotion. The account of Enoch's rapture offers hope and a promise to all believers. It suggests that a life dedicated to walking with God, seeking his will, and living according to his commandments can lead to a divine reward beyond the earthly. Enoch is seen as a precursor of the Christian hope of being reunited with God in heaven, showing that it is possible to live in such a way that God delights in us. Enoch's story also serves as a reminder that even in times of great darkness and sin, faithfulness to God can lead to a deeply meaningful and rewarding relationship. Enoch not only lived a long life, but lived a life full of communion with God, demonstrating that true fulfillment is found in closeness with the Creator. Before the flood, the world experienced an unprecedented moral decline. Wickedness and violence had become common, and the hearts of men were continually inclined toward evil. Genesis 6:5. This ethical and spiritual deterioration was so profound that God regretted creating man, and his heart was filled with pain. Genesis 6:6. This situation led to the divine decision to cleanse the earth through the flood. Preparation for the flood began with God's instruction to Noah, a righteous and upright man amid corruption. God communicated his plan to him and gave him detailed instructions to build an ark that would serve as a refuge for him, his family, and every kind of animal. Noah's task was not only physical but also spiritual, as he had to maintain his faith and obedience to God in a hostile environment. During this time, Noah preached and warned people about God's imminent judgment, though he was ignored and ridiculed by most. His persistence and unwavering faith enabled him to fulfill the divine mission. Building the ark was a prolonged act of faith that required decades of hard work and devotion. Noah is remembered as an example of perseverance and obedience to God, even when everyone around him gave in to sin. The flood became a reality, and Noah's preparation was rewarded. The ark, built with precise divine instructions, provided safety amid massive destruction. This event marked the end of an era of corruption and the beginning of a new opportunity for humanity, based on righteousness and obedience to God. The flood was not only an act of judgment, but also of renewal and hope. In the period before the flood, humanity began to expand rapidly, both in number and social complexity. The Bible mentions that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters, and their descendants multiplied on the earth, Genesis 5:4. This demographic growth led to the formation of communities and eventually more structured civilizations. As the population expanded, the need for diversifying occupations arose. Not everyone could be farmers or shepherds, so specialized roles began to emerge. For example, Tubal Cain is mentioned as a craftsman of bronze and iron tools, indicating the development of metallurgy, Genesis 4:22. Jubal, on the other hand, is recognized as the father of all those who play the harp and flute, suggesting an advancement in musical arts, Genesis 4:21. This specialization of roles not only improved the efficiency and productivity of communities, but also allowed significant cultural development. Music, art, metallurgy, and other skills began to flourish, contributing to a richer and more diverse society. However, this material progress was not always accompanied by moral or spiritual growth. Civilization also brought ethical challenges. As communities became more complex, so did temptations and opportunities for sin. Wealth and power became goals for many, and justice and equity began to be ignored. This dichotomy between material advancement and moral decline set the stage for the divine judgment that would come with the flood. One of the darkest features of the antediluvian era was the appearance of the Nephilim, described in Genesis 6:4 as giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. These beings were the result of the union between the sons of God and the daughters of men, a relationship symbolizing the transgression of divine and human boundaries. The Nephilim represent the intensification of wickedness and corruption on earth. The sons of God are interpreted by many scholars as fallen angels who took human wives. This interpretation suggests a demonic invasion that exacerbated humanity's corruption, leading to increased violence and disorder. The presence of the Nephilim on earth symbolizes a dangerous mix of divine and human that resulted in an abomination in God's eyes. The wickedness of the Nephilim and their descendants significantly contributed to the moral deterioration of the world. These giants were not only physically powerful, but also exerted great influence, promoting violence and injustice. The earth was filled with violence because of them, and moral corruption reached a critical point, provoking divine intervention. The account of the Nephilim is a reminder of the dangers of transgressing the boundaries established by God. Their existence and harmful influence underline the need to adhere to divine commandments and maintain spiritual purity. The story of the Nephilim and the corruption they brought is a prelude to the judgment of the flood, a warning of the consequences of disobedience to God. The passage in Genesis 6:2 mentions that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. This event marked the beginning of an era of corruption and moral decline. The identity of the sons of God has been debated, but a common interpretation is that they were fallen angels who united with human women, defying divine order. This illicit union resulted in the creation of the Nephilim, a race of giants that contributed to the increase of violence and chaos on earth. The Bible describes that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6-5. This period was characterized by a total corruption of God's purpose for humanity. The interaction between the sons of God and the daughters of men symbolizes a dangerous mix of divine and human, resulting in a distortion of natural and spiritual order. This transgression was not just an act of disobedience, but also represented a rebellion against God's authority. The proliferation of these hybrid beings intensified the moral and spiritual decline of humanity. The account of the sons of God and the daughters of men serves as a warning of the consequences of violating the boundaries established by God. Their union and the catastrophic results that followed underline the importance of maintaining integrity and purity in our relationships and actions. This story is a powerful reminder that obedience to God is essential to preserve order and holiness in the world. The corruption of the human race before the flood reached alarming levels, leading God to lament creating man, Genesis 6:6. Wickedness had permeated every aspect of life, and the earth was filled with violence, Genesis 6:11. This corruption affected not only outward actions, but also penetrated the thoughts and intentions of the human heart. The Bible describes a world where every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. This moral decay was reflected in all areas of society, from family to power structures. Justice and righteousness were replaced by injustice and wickedness, and humanity found itself in a state of complete depravity. The influence of the Nephilim and the sons of God exacerbated the corruption. Violence became the norm, and respect for life and holiness disappeared. Acts of injustice and wickedness were not only tolerated, but often celebrated. This environment of moral degeneration created an atmosphere where spiritual corruption thrived, distancing humanity further from its Creator. The corruption of the human race was the primary cause for the flood. God, seeing the depth of wickedness in the world, decided to destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6-7. This decision marked the beginning of divine judgment aimed at purifying the earth and restoring justice and holiness, preparing the way for a new beginning. The Bible reports that God repented of creating man due to the magnitude of his wickedness and corruption, Genesis 6:6. This divine lament is not an expression of human regret, but a reflection of the profound sorrow God felt seeing his creation stray so far from its original purpose. This suffering led to the decision to send a flood to cleanse the earth of its corruption. God's decision to send the flood was an act of justice and mercy. Though it involved massive destruction, it also represented an opportunity for a new beginning. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. Purity and holiness needed to be restored, and the flood was the means to achieve this. Amid this decision for judgment, God showed mercy by choosing Noah, a just and perfect man in his generations, to preserve human and animal life, Genesis 6:9. Noah found grace in God's eyes and was instructed to build an ark that would serve as a refuge during the flood. This choice underscores the principle that, even in times of judgment, God always seeks to redeem and save those who are faithful to him. The divine sorrow and the decision for the flood highlight the gravity of sin and the need for justice. However, they also show God's mercy and grace, always offering an opportunity for redemption and repentance. This biblical narrative reminds us of the importance of living in obedience and communion with God, always seeking his will and justice in our lives. Noah is presented in the Bible as a just man and perfect in his generations, Genesis 6:9. Amid a deeply corrupt and violent society, Noah stood out for his righteousness and his faithful walk with God. This devotion and obedience were why God chose him to be the instrument of salvation during the flood. Noah's righteousness was not just a matter of external behavior, but reflected a deep relationship with God. He lived in constant communion with his Creator, always seeking to do his will. This relationship was evidenced in his willingness to obey God's instructions without questioning them, even when they seemed improbable or impossible, like building the ark. Noah's family also benefited from his righteousness. His wife, sons, and daughters-in-law were saved from the flood due to Noah's faithfulness. This familial salvation underscores the importance of individual righteousness and its impact on the well-being of loved ones. Noah, as the head of his family, set an example of faith and obedience that ensured the continuity of humanity after the flood. Noah's figure offers us a powerful example of how to live a righteous life amid corruption. His story encourages us to maintain our faith and devotion to God, regardless of external circumstances. Noah demonstrates that righteousness and obedience can bring salvation and hope, even in the darkest times. His life is a testament to God's faithfulness to those loyal to him. Noah's construction of the ark is one of the most impressive demonstrations of faith and obedience in the Bible. God gave him detailed instructions to build an ark of gopher wood with specific measurements and compartments for the animals, Genesis 6, 14-16. This monumental project required not only technical skills, but also unwavering faith in God's promises and warnings. Despite the disbelief and ridicule of his contemporaries, Noah dedicated himself to the task diligently. For decades, he worked on building the ark, an effort symbolizing his total trust in God's word. Every nail, every plank, and every compartment built was an act of faith, a testimony to his belief in divine justice and the imminent arrival of the flood. Noah's obedience also extended to the collection of the animals. God instructed him to bring into the ark a pair of every kind and seven pairs of clean animals, Genesis 7:2-3. Noah followed these instructions meticulously, ensuring the preservation of animal life during the flood. This act of obedience not only saved his family, but also ensured the survival of the species that would repopulate the earth. The construction of the ark is a powerful lesson about the importance of faith and obedience in a believer's life. Noah not only believed in God, but also acted according to that faith, following every divine instruction to the letter. His example teaches us that true faith manifests in action, and that obedience to God, even in difficult or incomprehensible tasks, can bring salvation and blessing. After the flood, God established a covenant with Noah and his family, marking a new beginning for humanity. This covenant was symbolized by the rainbow, a sign of God's commitment never to destroy the earth with a flood again. Genesis 9:13. This divine promise brought hope and a sense of renewal, offering Noah and his descendants a new opportunity to build a world based on righteousness and obedience to God. The covenant included specific commandments for Noah and his sons. God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, replenishing the earth, Genesis 9:1. He also gave them instructions about life and death, prohibiting the shedding of human blood, and establishing the responsibility and value of life, Genesis 9:5-6. These guidelines provided a moral and ethical framework for the new society that would emerge after the flood. Noah responded to this covenant with gratitude and reverence. He built an altar and offered sacrifices to God, demonstrating his gratitude and continued commitment to the Creator, Genesis 8:20. This expression of faith and devotion reaffirmed the special relationship between God and Noah and established a precedent for worship and obedience in future generations. God's covenant with Noah is a reminder of his faithfulness and mercy. Despite the corruption and judgment that preceded the flood, God offered a new beginning and a promise of hope. This covenant teaches us that even in the darkest moments, there is always an opportunity for redemption and renewal. It encourages us to live in obedience to God, trusting in His promise of blessing and protection for those who follow Him faithfully. These studies provide a deep and rich insight into the antediluvian era, highlighting the importance of faith, obedience, and righteousness in times of great corruption and challenge. The narrative of Noah and his family offers valuable lessons on divine justice and hope for a new beginning.